Okay. Hi, this is Mark the Ballpark Hunter, and you're listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I'm the regional correspondent for the website Stadium Journey, the leader in sports reviews and journeys. Check us out at stadiumjourney.com. Well, with me today, pretty exciting. It's a brand new ball club. We have the director of marketing and Kate Duguay and the owner, George Lesmeister, of the Abilene Flying Bison of the Mid-America League. They get set to play in 2024 in just a few months. And this might be their first podcast, maybe, perhaps, to talk about their team and share some information on what to expect this summer. So, Kat and George, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. You are the first podcast that we're doing, so yes. All the exclusive info is going to you.
All the exclusive info. Well, you know, it's funny because a bunch of us, we go on Twitter, we look at all the logos that teams introduce, we look at new leagues that are popping up, and we're like, oh yeah, there's this new league out of Texas, and there's four clubs, and I think you guys were the first or second. I don't know who released their logo first, you or Sherman?
We were the second.
We were this, okay.
So Sherman was the first.
So I saw Sherman's and then I saw Abilene. I'm like, man, that Abilene logo is pretty nice. It's different. It's a little unique, the name. And then, you know, and then we start jumping on to say, hey, let's find out more about this team. Let me reach out to them. Somebody said, hey, why don't you contact the Bison, see if they come on. So that's how the ball gets going. So I appreciate you coming on here, taking your time. So let's just get down to business. I mean, we can start from anywhere. I want to start with the name of the team and the logo. Flying Bison. Was this, I know it was part of four finalists, but were these teams picked from fans or were they picked from an independent group within the ownership?
When we first established the franchise, our mission from the beginning was to have fan involvement, yes, and be fan friendly. So we announced a team name, the team, the opportunity for people to suggest names, and we had good response to that. And there was a variety of many people suggested Bison as a name, and others wanted something to do with flying and things like that. So it was kind of like a combination of suggestions that made it to the finalists, Flying Bison. So when you look at it, the bison is a very important animal to that area. And with Dyess Air Force Base being there in Abilene, combining flying with bison was kind of a good combination of suggestions from the fans. And then the other three that were finalists were mixed in there. And then we had everybody through a contest kind of pick which one was going to be the favorite, and Flying Bison won out of those other three designs. So
yeah, nice.
Kind of that's now, how it came about.
Now, was it overwhelmingly Flying Bison or was it a close race?
Yeah, it wasn't really close. It was okay. Overwhelming. Yeah. I mean, so that was cool that, you know, that became like the thing that people really kind of bought into and wanted to be part representing their city. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, you come up with a unique name and then you have to come up with a logo. And I think you guys really came out with something that's going to open the eyes, not just in Abilene, but, you know, across the country. Who created this logo and did you guys have any input on it?
Yeah. So Zachary Associates, which is a local marketing agency down in Abilene, nice, created it for us. They're also in the midst of working on a really cool website for each team as well as for the league. We definitely wanted, before we even started the process, we wanted to have input on it. You know, the entire Abilene team is so passionate about like every aspect of what we're doing. So we really all want to have our hands in every part of it. So we had a little bit of an idea just in terms of, I guess, the vibe we wanted to give off. And I think partially with the name Flying Bison, it gave us some opportunity to be a little bit fun. You know, especially in the nature of this type of league, we wanted to do something that was going to offer us the ability to create really cool merch, really cool giveaways and things of that nature. So we had an idea, you know, on the colors we kind of wanted to work with. We had a general idea of what we wanted the bison to look like. And so we kind of shared that input with Zachary and Associates, and they really took the ideas we gave them and created something really, really cool. I remember when we saw the first logos from them, we were like, this is, yeah, you know, so it was a really exciting moment too.
Yeah, that's always good when you have that reaction rather than, huh, what?
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that's what you want. Because I know I created some logos for a buddy of mine for his adult kickball league. And I'm like, yeah, this is going to knock him out. And he looks at it. He's like, eh, looking for something different. And you're like, what? Okay, I'll repurpose it. I'll do something else with it. So it's, you know. So how has reaction been so far? Not only to like the logo, but to the team from Abilene. Are you seeing orders for shirts, tickets? I don't know how much information is out yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the response has been, you know, very good. I think the people of Abilene and waiting for baseball, some type of organized baseball to return. I don't think there's been a team there for about 8-9 years. Mm-hmm. So I think the reception has been very positive. Everybody that I've spoken to locally has been very positive, welcoming. We're excited about this opportunity to be there. And I think it's going to be a good thing for the city. And I think the Flying Bison are going to be something that people are really going to get behind and feel that they're a part of. And that's going to be the most important thing to this franchise, is that the community feels that they're a part of it and that it's something they can be proud of. So far, I think everything's been fantastic in terms of how we've been received and welcomed.
Yeah, because I mean, it felt like it came out of the blue. You know, sometimes you hear about leagues that are, hey, we're going to start in a couple years. What was the genesis of this league? When did you know you were going to have a team in Abilene? Or when did you get involved?
The league founders, they've been in organized baseball for, you know, combined, I think, close to 100 years. So the experience of the founders within organized baseball is pretty extensive. I've been talking to Matt Perry, one of the founders, for about 6 years in terms of looking at getting involved from a equity position in a team. And I've looked at a variety of opportunities in that time frame, but nothing really seemed to hit me as that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be invested. And then when this came up with this new league, the Mid-America League, and Abilene was suggested as a franchise, when I looked at the city and the history of baseball that took place and the love of baseball that the community has, it was just like an automatic. It's like, I this needs to happen. I want to be in Abilene. You know, what do I have to do to be a part of that? And so that's kind of what the genesis of it is. So I think we have is a league founding group that's very experienced within baseball. You have owners who are coming into it who really want to be part of this. And I think it's so far it's been a very positive experience. So this, you know, of my time looking at franchise opportunities, this far and away was the thing that made the most sense. And I'm, you know, excited about.
Yeah, definitely. Because you said it's been almost a decade since Abilene has had a baseball team. Yep. That seems like a long time. You think somebody would have hopped in and put a team, whether it's in the Texas Collegiate League or, you know, maybe in another startup league. What can you tell me about the city of Abilene and its baseball history?
Well, I do know that back in the 40s and early 50s, they were affiliated. They were the Abilene Blue Sox. They were affiliated with the Brooklyn Dodgers for a while, and then the Kansas City Athletics. So they do have a history of affiliated baseball. The stadium they played in no longer exists. I think there's a warehouse that sits there. So, you know, there is some history there. And in fact, some of the individuals who responded to social media postings talked about the fact that they went to Abilene Blue Sox games with their grandfather way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of cool that there people remember that legacy of the sport locally there. So, you know, and then there was some unaffiliated professional baseball teams that were around in the early 2000s, Abilene Prairie Dogs, I believe was their name. And they had a good following as well. And so we've had, you know, when we did our name reveal, we had a few people come up to us and say, hey, we were kids and we went to Prairie Dog games and we're excited about being able to take our families now to something that's an organized baseball team here locally. So again, very, very good history of baseball in the city and a fan base that really wants to be part of this.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of good baseball cities in Texas. And I noticed one thing you guys are doing, you're paying homage to the Blue Sox. You're going to wear throwback uniforms.
We are.
On Thursday nights, is it?
Thursday home games. Yep. We're going to be the Abilene Blue Sox. Absolutely.
Yeah. Then, then of course, there'll be the throwback uniforms and anything special those nights. I know you can't serve alcohol. Is that still... Or you can have it in certain areas.
Yeah, I mean, that's a question I really can't answer right now.
Okay.
but, you know, the Blue Sox, it's going to we're going to do a logo for that, try to be as close to what they used in the past. The uniforms to be, we're still kind of evaluating how that's going to look, but we want it to mirror what was worn back in those days. So it's just a matter of finding, historical reference pictures, things like that. And that's kind of up Cat's alley to make that stuff happen in terms of
I get that. That's kind of hard to find because I went into this deep dive for the Paris Red Peppers. That was a baseball team in the 1940s and 50s. And I read an article how they had an emblem on their sleeves and I wanted to find a picture. So I dug into newspapers.com. I checked references. I did everything possible except going to Paris and looking through official records at City Hall. And I just couldn't find this logo. So it's I don't know how hard it is to find uniforms or newspaper articles from the Blue Sox. But, sometimes you find it, a nice picture of that team with their logo and uniforms. And other times, who knows? Right.
Yeah, we're similarly having, the same type of, not issue per se, but it's like a scavenger hunt, we're figuring out where we're going to find, especially because we want to showcase this team as well, the original team. And if we can, like you said, we want to share pictures and do things like that. But we also want to make sure, we're going through the appropriate channels and not just grabbing stuff off of, the internet. But I know that we have someone down at a museum in Abilene called the Grace Museum, someone that our president knows who's like the historian of Abilene. So we want to work with him to see, what kind of information we can get and if they have any photos. A lot of the photos I've seen have come from local people in Abilene who photos from, when they're older and stuff like that. Or I'm sorry, when their grandparents were younger and stuff like that. And that's one thing, too, I just wanted to add, from my aspect of social media, that's a big thing we've been hearing is just how many great memories people have associated with baseball in Abilene. Whether it's the Blue Sox, like George said, we had someone who said that's one of their favorite memories is games with their grandparents, or the Prairie Dogs. And so, I even heard the other day, someone's like, it means so much that we have this opportunity again. And, it's kind of like a fresh start for us to have baseball in Abilene. So it's honestly very touching to hear the way people are reacting. I'm softy, especially when it comes to that sentimental feeling you get with sports and with baseball, especially. So the reaction in that aspect has been really heartwarming. And I think with the Throwback Thursdays, that's going to be the entire theme of the night. So we're hoping to do some just additional throwback style baseball things that are in the works. But we think it'll be really fun just to kind of think about, hey, this is how far we've come over the past, 80 years.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you don't know how many people, I'm thinking like how many people were around that can say, hey, this is exactly how I remember it. Maybe the prices are different. They're not paying a quarter or 50 cents to get in. But yeah, throwback nights are always fun. You like to see that even in the AAA major league levels when the team busts out their throwback uniforms. But, so the Blue Sox uniforms, we kind of know where you're going at. What about the Bison uniforms? Are these going to be unique pullovers? Do you have a concept of that design yet?
Yeah, we kind of have an idea of what we want them to look like. We're going to have a basic road and home uniform. We're not going to have any alternate jerseys this year. That's going to be more of the Blue Sox. But the road uniforms, you know, I'm a baseball child of the 70s and early 80s. So we're going to have road uniforms that are going to be kind of the powder blue, victory blue, St. Louis Cardinal type blue in the late 70s there. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of wanted something to stand out that way. So that's one thing I can say. Okay. But the other designs are still in the works.
You know, I remember 1987 when a bunch of teams, Oakland and Atlanta and the Chicago White Sox, said, hey, we're going to go to traditional 1950s, 60s uniforms. And everybody kind of jumped on board. And then little by little, those powder blue uniforms disappeared. You know,
yeah.
We don't want to do the 70s look anymore. And the trend was already going on at the time. But now here we are, you know, 30 some years later. And it's like, yeah, bring back those powder blue uniforms. Yeah. I'm with you. I love
them. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love to see them. That'd be great to see. All monochrome powder blue or just powder blue tops?
No, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Nice.
Yeah, you have to. You can't go powder blue without powder blue uniform pants.
How's that even possible? I look back at some film. The Blue Jays used to wear powder blue pants with like a royal blue top. From time to time.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, and the Cardinals, I think, used to rock powder blue pants with red tops every now and then. I mean, the rules were a little bit different. But, yeah, it's kind of funny looking at those old videos and pictures and say, wow, they wore that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but, yeah, I'd rather powder blue than gray. I hate gray uniforms.
No, there is no gray. We weren't going to do that. That's not going to happen.
I think we live in a society where our TVs are so crystal clear that, you know, let's – even if you – did something with the gray color. It's a very drab. I get it's traditional. Powder blue is the way to go. So good. That's great to see. I had a feeling since I saw the colors in those logos. Nice. So let's get on to the ballpark, Walt Triggers Field. Any renovations taking place right now to like the experience? What can I expect if I go see a game there this year? Or hope to expect.
Well, Walt Triggers Field is the baseball stadium for McMurray University, and it's a historical type stadium, mm-hmm. So it's kind of neat that way. I think the seating area is pretty set up right now. I mean, there's some adjustments that are being made within the field itself in terms of some fencing and other things like that, but for the most part, it's going to be good to go. For the year. So it's just a nice cozy environment. That's a good place for us to begin our journey here as a team. And I think the university has been very, accepting, exciting of us coming in there. The coaching staff, McMurray Baseball, is completely behind us and what we're doing. And I think there's a good partnership that's going to be formed. And so we're looking forward to that, being there and being part of that facility.
Yeah, because I think that's the stadium that has its press box on the ground level.
The seating bowl, if you will, sits on top of that press box.
Yeah,
and so it's kind of interesting that way. It's unique.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that before. I've been to some ballparks where they have suites at the bottom level like that, but never the press box. So, you know, I guess that's a unique little feature. I don't know if there's other ones out there. If my listeners know, let me know. I'm sure there might be one. So awesome. So Walt Triggers Field, everything is set up, and, you know, anything you're adding to, you know, to differentiate your experience compared to the universities. Like a merchandise booth, or there'll be like a,
I mean, there's going to be some things that we're still working through that as to how it's going to look and what we're going to do, what type of tailgating feature we're going to be able to offer fans when they come, what type of merchandise, concessions, all that stuff is being worked on. I never knew that, you know, you look at baseball and you see the team on the field and you don't know how much goes on behind the scenes to make these games possible and fan friendly. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. So those are things that are being looked at and figured out and see what we can do and what we can't do and what makes sense. So it's a process, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I talked to Glenn Campbell, who does work for the Cape Catfish in the Prospect League. He was one of the co-founders of LIDS, And it's like, you know, when I was in my 20s, I could work long hours. It didn't bother me. But now I'm in my mid to late 50s. I feel like I'm working back in lids again with this baseball team because there's so many things you got to set up in the offseason. What is the offseason look? I mean, what is obviously before the season looking like for you right now, planning things for the upcoming year? Player development, signing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's, you know, we have a president of the team and a general manager that were hired almost immediately. We've been fortunate to identify a field manager and a pitching coach, which we're going to announce on the 20th of January. Perfect. And we're still looking at some additional coaching staff hires. And so then, you know, then it's the process of going out and recruiting players and getting individuals excited about coming to be part of Abilene. We want to be an elite organization that's becomes a destination for people. And so we're going to act that way. That's kind of the mentality that we have organizationally. And I think, hopefully we'll, people, you know, players and coaches will be attracted to that and want to be a part of it. And so that's kind of how we're proceeding in that regards.
But
in terms of like some of the, Kat, I don't know if you want to talk about any of the marketing or any of the issues that way.
Yeah. And operationally too, you know, we kind of speaking to what you're saying before, what we'll have going on at the stadium. I think part of the reason it's still, you know, we're working through it is because we want every game to create, you know, a unique experience for that game. You know, because we want people to have a reason to come back. And it's not just because the baseball is going to be great and it's just going to be, you know, fun, but because there'll be something unique going on, you know, at the game. So whether that's pre-game events, post-game events, you know, we're still working through all of it. And I think that's been one of the most exciting parts is speaking to people in Abilene and figuring out what they, you know, want from their baseball experience and then deciding and figuring out how the Bison can give that to them. And then for more, you know, of a marketing standpoint, we've been selling merch. We don't have it up on a website yet, but we've been selling locally, which we've had some great reception from fans purchasing our merchandise. Internally, you know, kind of George touched on it. We're big, like, hat people, uniform people. The merchandise is serious to us. You know, we want to similarly create stuff people love and get input that way. So, you know, it's been about spreading the word for as many amazing new fans we have. You know, I personally running social media have to take a step back and realize, hey, there's about 160,000 people in Abilene. You know, so it's going to take a little bit of work to try and get to every single person, which is our goal. So that's been a lot of what, you know, I personally have been working on is spreading the word, creating stuff, you know, that people like to see online and that really engages our fan base. Because as soon as the season's coming up, you know, it still also is 5+ months away. And we want people to stay just as excited and energized as we are right now.
Yeah. I noticed when you guys joined X, formerly Twitter, you know, it was like, yeah, somebody, you know, they're officially on. How's the engagement been just through that social media?
Yes. So it's so interesting because, you know, I obviously know of X/Twitter. It's so hard to just call something X. But someone had reached out via Facebook and said, hey, are you guys going to join X? And I was like, yes, we have an account. I just haven't, you know, gone in there and actually done things with it. And they said, because there's a huge community of like minor league baseball fans and teams. Yep. Yeah. And they said, like, this is where you need to be because this is like what's going on, you know? So immediately I dropped what I was doing and I went and I was like, going to X, let me get our profile up and running. I want people, you know, to be able to find us. And I was amazed to see immediately when I went in there that Brandon McAuffle, I believe is his name, had. He was at our unveiling event when we unveiled the logo and some of our merchandise. And he had shared a post about us with some of the merch that we were selling, a few pictures. And that had over 26,000 impressions. And so, you know, from the marketing standpoint, I was like, oh my gosh. So it was a really warm reception. You know, people seem excited to have us here. And, you know, obviously we're still building up our you know, just X profile in general, but it's been really welcoming, really exciting. It's so fun to see what other leagues are out there just in terms of name and branding. I mean, yes. I'm obsessed with the creativity you can have in these types of leagues. I think it is so exciting. It creates, I mean, I'm wearing my Bison sweatshirt right now. I love this sweatshirt. You know, I mean, we're very like, we're really into our merch. And so to see that type of similar community on X has been really exciting. It's been super fun.
Yeah, it's like fly Bison fly, join the squadron. You already got your hashtags out there.
Yeah. We're fortunate like fly, that we bison, have fly. Yeah. We're fortunate to have people who are you know, they want to be on the ground floor with us as well. Just in terms of being a fan or helping out however they can. You know, we're doing a lot of local partnerships. That's, you know, we want to work with the local businesses and get everyone involved as much as they can, because that really feeds our, I guess, unofficial mission of making this Abilene's team, not just our team, you know, but their team that they are genuinely a part of, not just a fan of. And so, you know, we have people who are getting the hashtags out there, and, you know, again, from a marketing standpoint and just from my sports fan heart, it is like the most exciting thing to be a part of, especially at this point when everything's kind of building up.
Yeah, because exactly, you want people who are traveling through Dallas and Frisco to say, hey, you know, Abilene's, what, about an hour away?
It's about two and a half.
Oh, 2 hours.
Yeah, it's about 180 miles west of Fort Worth. Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
you drive
that's
really fast,
ballpark.
Though.
Yeah.
We drive really fast.
Yeah.
Like, really. Not okay, that we're encouraging hours. That, of course, but yeah.
Well, I'm looking at a map here, and I got to realize everything's bigger in Texas. I once drove with my parents from El Paso to Beaumont. I mean, I think we were in Texas for like 3 days.
It was so far.
Compared to growing up in New Jersey, where you could go east to west in about an hour without traffic.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm from New York originally, so same thing. I'm like, back and forth Long Island and, you know, short amount of time in Texas is like, you know, the big sky, that's a real thing. You know, I look up and
In New York, I always tell people you can get from point A to point B without traffic, but then you hit traffic, especially on Long Island. I mean, I don't even want to know what it's like to get from, you know, one end out to, you know, Montauk. That might take 6 hours too. Well, you know, like I said, ballpark people, you know, we sit here and we go on Twitter and, you know, we listen to other people's podcasts. And, you know, we talk about taking trips. You know, people are planning their trips right now. So, you know, I want to get down to Dallas and Frisco to see some games. And then I'm like, oh, Abilene's only 2 hours away. Okay, let me just rent a car, drive out there, maybe come back to Dallas, maybe spend the night. So, you know, it's nice to have more options, you know, and then there's people saying, well, Wichita's only this far, or, you know, Sherman's only that far. So, you know, it is important to know, you know, to know all these teams and say, hey, let me go check these guys out. Cause, you know, every ballpark I go to, I buy a cap and, you know, or, hey, this is Thursday night. They're having, you know, throwback Thursdays or dollar hot dogs this night. I have the kids with me. So, yes, that's what makes it fun when these new teams pop up, because it gives us more chances to, you know, enjoy baseball summer. So it's good to get good that you guys are out here. Next question: how far away are all the teams? You know, how far are you away from Sherman and I guess Fort Smith? How are you guys in like a pocket of Texas? Or
yeah, I mean, I think it's the league is going to be, you know, as the league develops, it's going to be Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas is kind of where I think the league's going to settle in.
Okay.
So, I mean, right now we're not any more than, you know, 4 hours, maybe 5 at the most, away from most of the current franchises. So that's kind of, I think it's going to stay within that frame for the most part, maybe another hour here or there, you know, as teams get added.
I think Sherman is our closest team, which is about 3.5 hours away. So I believe that would be, the most local one for us. And then, like George said, not too far outside of that range. So fairly easy to kind of drive all between.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I was watching a game in the Pecos League a few years ago in Weimar. And I remember the guys just came in from, I want to say Alpine, which was like a 6-hour drive. And they're like, yeah, that's not bad. 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, 12, 14 hour, that would probably push that pushes the limit a little bit.
I've heard stories, you know, of certain leagues where you're doing 12 hours and you're sleeping on the bus. That can't be fun.
That's not fun.
No, that's not fun. So, do you have any information on the other teams that haven't released their names yet? You know, when they're going to announce them, any inside information?
Yeah, I mean, I've been so focused on Abilene baseball and the Flying Bison that I haven't really had much conversation with the league as it related to the names of the other franchises. I've heard things here and there, but some rumors of what Fort Smith's going to be, but I don't want to say it yet.
No, I get it.
But you know, I mean, other than that, my focus is really on Abilene and what we're going to do there. And, you know, but that's really, I really don't have anything else to say on that one.
No, I get it. I can, what your team is consuming is very time consuming. So I get that. I definitely get that. And then, players, is this, I guess one question, is this a summer collegiate team, or are we looking for a mix of professionals?
No, this is going to be a summer collegiate league. Yeah. So the type of player we're looking at is those individuals who have graduated high school, who are about to enter college, those individuals who are currently playing collegiate baseball. Yeah. And then the league also is allowing us to look at players who have maybe exhausted their eligibility collegiately, who want to play and who haven't signed professional contracts yet, who'd want to still be able to play baseball and you know, let others see that they still can play and potentially get signed on professionally. There's going to be three kind of distinct groups of players from which we can recruit and draw from.
Okay, so there's going to be a blend of post and current college kids.
For the most part, I think most of it's going to be current college and those entering college, but there are also probably going to be some players who are post-college who are still looking to play the game.
All right. So who have exhausted, because I had a question. This is a first. When I announced that I was having you guys on here, John Walk, his Twitter handle is on the microphone. He was curious how the league was going to protect the eligibility of college kids, since it seems like it's going to be a blend of post-college and, current college players, but I think you just answered that for us.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, if it's a legal question, that'd be best passed off to the league founders. But I think it's, that's, they're not going to, those players who are post-collegiate will not be paid.
Yeah.
Players, okay. You know? Yeah.
Okay. Well, and that's the first. I've never had anybody wanted me to ask a question to one of my interviewers. So I think a lot of people were excited when I announced you guys were coming on here. I think a lot of folks are kind of circling their calendars saying, hey, let me go check out this league. And you guys were the first. I know the Shadow Cats came out after. So, you know, it's nice that you got the ball rolling right now. So next step for you guys, you know, it's January. What are the main areas you guys want to take care of? Obviously, securing players and pitching. Anything else financial? Anything else with, you know, with the city trying to set up sponsorships? Like,
yeah, I mean, a big part of our focus is one word, and that's sell. You know, selling sponsorships, selling tickets, season tickets, and also, you know, 10 game packages, putting together what our giveaways are going to be, our promotions, you know, different sponsorship packages, seeing what we're, you know, if we're gonna, you know, if we're gonna have, what type of tailgating options we're gonna have, what type of concessions are gonna be available, you know, purchasing the merchandise, you know, going through and looking at things, making sure we have cool gear. I'm a huge hat guy, huge gear person. I noticed you have the Lions hat on today. It's a good logo.
You know,
doing very well. So it's important that we have good stuff that I'd want to buy. So if I'm looking at it from me as a fan, that's the way I'm viewing this team. What would I want to see from this franchise to get me excited about going to the games and wearing their stuff? So I want to make sure that we put things out there that people are going to want to buy, that I would buy. So everything we've had out there so far is things that I would buy. And so that's kind of what we want to do, is get good things out, you know, good merchandise, have a good product, want people to come in, It's going to be economical. For us, if a successful year would be that the, you know, we do well on the field, but we also do well in for the fan, from the fan standpoint, that they feel they were entertained, that they want to come back, that they felt welcome, that they were participatory, that the players interacted with them. To me, that's going to define our success for the season. And so that's what we're trying to put together right now.
Yeah. Is civic what, pride.
What's the season's going to look like. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you don't know what it's going to look like right now. And I'm sure next year at this time, you'll be planning things differently. And you're going to say, wow, we'll do this the same. We'll do that differently. It's probably the most fun you may not want to ever do again.
It could be.
I mean, I always envisioned myself working for a baseball team, and it's like, you know, this is what I would do, but then it's like, okay, this is how much it's going to cost. You know, yeah. I want 8 different styles of hats, but then ownership may say, wait a minute, you know how much that's going to cost us. So,
yeah,
you know, I get it. It's like, you know, I assume you're on field caps. You're going to have a dad hat. You're going to have adjustable caps.
Yeah, we have that. I mean, we're going to have, right now we're at 3 on field hats, and I could see us going to 4 or 5. So I got to cool my jets a little bit on that. Keep it reasonable. Yeah, we'll have road away and probably an alternate, maybe a batting practice. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, we're going to have a variety of hats.
Yeah, nice, nice. And then now, Kat, did you say these are only available locally, or can I go online and purchase them?
We're in the process of having our online shop set up. So it should hopefully be, I would say, maybe in the next week or two.
Yeah.
Because we have people asking to buy stuff that aren't local. And obviously we want everyone to be able to buy as much as they want, whenever they want. So we're hoping in the next week or two, we'll have something online that people can purchase from. We're also in the midst of, you know, making a new order. And that's kind of a big thing we're working on too, is merch orders, creating new stuff, cool stuff that people have been asking for too. So we're going to hopefully have that stuff out really soon, because the people want it, and we want them to have it. We want to see people in fights and stuff. I'm in Chicago, you know, so right now the odds are only seeing me and my friends, but I know the first time I see a bison in the wild is how we're referring to it. I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs. So it's going to be really exciting, but yeah, hopefully in the next week or two, we'll have that up.
Yeah. I was just in Chicago for New Year's. I was
really? At
the United Center for the Cedric the Entertainer concert with my wife. So.
Oh, that's so fun.
Wasn't too far away. Yeah.
So I was going to say, you're in Indy or around Indy?
I'm in Indianapolis, yeah. So I'm about 3 hours south of Chicago in the Eastern time zone, whereas Chicago's in the Central time zone. So do you live in Chicago, or just you're there with family?
Yeah, so I live in Chicago currently. Yeah, so it was really fun to have my first experience in Abilene. It was amazing. You know, I had the best time. So, but yeah, currently I'm living in Chicago.
Okay, and then, you know, during the season, you go to Abilene and enjoy the nice dry, the nice, is it dry heat or humid heat in Abilene?
Hey, I don't actually know.
It's heat. It's hot.
I know. My
that's
wife
okay.
Texas.
It's summer.
Yeah. I have cousins in Texas. They hate going there. My wife hates going there because it just screws up her hair. And she's the type of woman that just, you know, we'll get her, if she can get her hair done every week, she would.
I love that for her.
Yeah, and then I feel like a guy working for a baseball team. Okay, here's the money to go pay for it. So, all right. So we got a little off sidetrack. Hat requests. Yeah, exactly. That's what happens. At least I'm talking about my wife. Some people, I bring up a story about somebody I dated 20 years ago and got my wife listening in another room. Hat requests. How far have some of these requests come from? Are they all within the states?
Yes, as far as I know, within the states. Yep. I mean, we have people who, you know, I know there's some things that are consistently been in demand, which are new era flex fit hats. And please forgive me, I don't know all their official names. To hear everyone go back and forth and call them by what I call their government hat names, I'm like, I don't know, you know, numbers.
The dad hat is a popular cap for most people, not for me, but for some of the folks out there, they love the dad hat. I don't like the way it looks on my head, but basic new era adjustable cap with the Velcro.
Yeah. I mean, we have some new era 3930s, which is more of the flex fit variety. Mm-hmm. And so when we're looking at the field hat, I mean, there's some, the league is probably going to, you know, want to be, have consistency yeah. within the hat. So it, you know, there's going to be equivalency to the 5950, you know, new era style probably. But so that's kind of, you know, from my standpoint, you know, we're going to have hat styles that mirror what's out there in the, yeah. in the market, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's I'm going to tell you, that's important to a lot of fans, maybe more than just buying a ticket to the game, making sure they get a hat they like.
Exactly.
And they can mm-hmm. fit. Cause yep. you know, I know living here in Indianapolis, I live actually in Fishers, which is a suburb. I remember a few years ago walking into Kroger supermarket and I'm looking at somebody with a Savannah Bananas t-shirt. And that mm-hmm. was, you know, before they blew up.
Right.
So yeah, you definitely want to see somebody with a Bison hat or shirt somewhere, you know, out there in the big country. So
yeah,
maybe that's a social media thing. If you spot somebody with a Bison hat or logo, take a picture, send it to the social media where it's from. And I don't know, you give them.
Yeah. So that's very similar to what we want to do, which is we're actually going to call Bison in the Wild. And so either, you know, I think we're going to more so encourage people to take pictures of themselves, just because I imagine people like, you know, creeping up with their phones, like, oh, let me get a picture of this person. But we really want to encourage. Yeah, yes. Good point. Yes. We really want to encourage people, you know, to be out there wearing their merch. And so I think that's a great way to do it, is to have, you know, we like fun contests and stuff. We want to do giveaways. You know, I mean, who doesn't love that type of thing? I sure do. So we want to create that type of stuff people enjoy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I guess my last question is, do you have a mascot getting designed at the moment?
We are just started that process. So I'm in talks with a couple companies about getting our mascot created. I know internally we have some thoughts. We've also been sourcing on social media names for the mascot. People are already pretty invested in it. So hopefully we'll have some designs in the next couple of weeks. I'm excited to kind of share along the process. And, you know, I kind of want to give that behind the scenes look of what it's like to get some of this stuff set up. Cause I think, you know, kind of like you said, there's a lot more behind the scenes than one might think. So we are in the process of getting insert mascot name here going.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun when you're in the process and picking up names. I remember, you know, the Make and Bacon were looking for a name, the Portland Pickles. trying to think who else. Everybody has a the Fish Sticks mascot out in Seattle. You know, it's like, hey, we got a new mascot. What's his name? So it should be an exciting time just getting this new team, this new league off the ground. Hopefully, you know, 10 years you're celebrating, you know, your 10th anniversary and the league is spread out. You know, let's just hope this league works, and we're definitely pulling for you. And like I said, all of us ballpark hunters and travelers, yes, we want more baseball to see during the summer. You know, that's the main thing.
Sure.
All right. Well,
absolutely.
Okay. Well, Kat, George, thank you for coming on the show. Right now, where can we find you guys to get more information? What social media outlets are you on?
At Abilene Flying Bison on Facebook and Instagram. And then on X, we are at ABI Flying Bison. So you just put in Flying Bison and you will find us, or I will somehow find you, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, see, that's nice when you can just put in Flying Bison and they can find the baseball team.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though I talked to some younger kids and Flying Bison means something else, an avatar name or.
Oh, Airbender? Yes. Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's from Avatar. But so far, people have enjoyed that. I had someone reach out and go, oh, my gosh, a flying bison, like Appa is the name of the bison on Avatar. And I'm like, they're cousins, you know, so we're going to have to create some lore there.
Yeah, no, because it was, you know, I'm a school teacher. This is not my full-time gig, but I was talking to one of my freshman kids, and I was listing in the names, and she's like, oh, Appa. Mm-hmm. What the heck are you talking about? And, you know, she's like, Appa from... I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm tapped into the APA, you know, situation. Yeah. So yeah, you know, we'll have to do some type of partnership with them.
Yeah. I'm at that age where with some of my coworkers are, you know, about 20, 25 years younger, and just some of the stuff they know. And I know, I feel like the old fogey. I'm like, what are you talking about? The new Spider-Man video games out? What? Then you're talking APA. You're talking, oh my goodness, Gwen Stacy's alter ego. I hate it. I used to be hip on everything, you know? So anyway, hey guys, this has been a lot of fun. I hope my listeners are now excited about learning more about your team. Go out there and subscribe to their social media. Kat, I think you're going to be doing some great things with Abilene, with your social media presence. And that's key, because a lot of teams just open the doors and they expect everybody to come in. You really have to drum up some business. And, you know, not everybody's going to be able to get down to Abilene this year or next, but they can definitely buy a hat. They can definitely show support in that way. So that's what you want as well.
Yep, for sure. Yep. And we'll definitely be able to get some of that exposure thanks to being on this podcast. So we really appreciate you reaching out as well. I mean, it was so exciting to hear from you. So we're really happy that you gave us the opportunity to do this.
I think that came from my buddy of mine, Zach Beeson. He said, hey, the Fine Bison are on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, cool. And I just reached out to somebody from them. So
cool.
Oh, yeah. That was me.
So it was you. So it all worked out. And listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I reach out to a lot of teams. Not everybody writes back, you know? So I don't know where these emails are going. Sometimes they do write back and say, hey, we'll do it. And then I don't hear back from them again. So, you know, I really appreciate you coming on because, you know, I know it's busy. Some folks don't want to come on on a podcast. I don't get it. You have a baseball team. I would promote the heck out of it. Other folks are like, I don't know if they think I'm going to ask some really inside controversial questions. I give them a list of my podcasts. I mean, I ask what kind of jerseys you're going to have. Like, I don't think that's that controversial.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Some expose. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the good questions.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we jumped at this. You know, we talk about too, like being able to get in touch with us is so important as a new team. We don't want people to feel like they're like, who are these guys, you know, just behind social media. We want people to feel like eventually they can get to know us and, you know, I mean, again, be part of the team. So,
that's
engaging
important
with that way.
Yeah. That's important when you get back to people and word gets around, because I can give you a whole list of teams that you just write an email and you say, hey, you guys, where can I pick up one of your baseball caps? And you hear crickets. You know, there was a team, and I'll mention them because they're no longer around. There was a team called the Clarksville, Tennessee Whirlybirds. They played in the Ohio Valley League last summer. Loved their logo, wanted a cap. They didn't have a website. They had a very low media presence on Facebook. I sent the messages. I found the phone number. This is how I found the phone number of the head coach's wife, and I texted her. I said, hey, can you talk to your husband? I want to get a Whirlybirds cap. And I got it through like a Clarksville Facebook town website.
Wow.
And I'm like, I have to go through this many hoops to order a hat. Like, I'll give you $30. Like, just send it to me. Or I don't think that's going to be a problem with you guys.
No. You know, again, this is a fan-friendly organization, and we want to be reachable and accountable to our fan base. And so I think there's nothing more of a compliment than somebody who wants to wear a Flying Bison hat. To me, that's the coolest thing. So we are going to be reachable, and we are going to be fan-friendly.
All right, definitely. We're looking forward to it.
And just quick anecdote too, if you got in touch with George's wife and said, hey, I just want to get a hat like from your husband, she would be like, this is the most on-brand George thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I think sometimes she's got to rein him in a little bit on the hats, because that's how big the hats are inside. Yeah. We're really downplaying it. But when there's 35 different game hats, I mean, that's just don't be surprised.
Yeah. We're looking forward. Yeah. Usually I'm doing this in my basement, but we're doing some work down there, and I have like my wall of hats behind me. So it's
nice.
You know, I have a lot of hats too. Sometimes I'm like, good Lord, do I really need 80 hats, you know, of similar colors, like, but yeah, they're great to wear.
No, no,
I do.
The answer to that is yes.
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 Well, yeah, resounding because, yes.
Well, just like, I mean, Detroit Lions, that's not a very unique hat, but you know, I was wearing this at the Kroger again. And one of the guys that works there is from Chatham on Ontario, which is a couple hours away, or about an hour. And he's just talking Detroit Lions with me, and it leads into baseball and Ferguson Jenkins and how he knows him and how he had Fergie call somebody up to call him out to say that you weren't a legit, you know, pitching coach. And I'm like, wow, all because of this hat.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Connections.
Yeah. Connections. So every time I see him now, he updates me on the Lions, and it's been a good year. So we've had some great conversations.
Yeah.
So, all right. Hey, guys, this was enjoyable, and thanks for coming on. Best of luck in 2024, and hopefully one of our listeners gets out there and tells us all about it.
Sounds good. Fly, bison, fly.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fly, bison, fly. Thank right. you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Fly, bison, fly. That was Kat Duguay, the director of marketing, and George Les... Is it Lesmeister? Or Les Meister, I forget how to say that. Oh, I feel like an idiot. Leighton Meester. I'm thinking about Leighton Meester, the famous actress and singer. What's she doing these days? Okay, that's nothing to do with anything. He's the owner of the Abilene Flying Bison. Listen, those guys seem like a lot of fun, and I wish them well, because a lot of people start these leagues and they come up with different logos and merchandise, and then in a few years, they're gone. So I think these guys are in it for the long haul, and hopefully they can get their beverage license figured out at Walt Driggers Field. I had read that there was going to be no alcohol sales, maybe a hospitality area before the game and away from the field. So they'll tell us. They got a few months. We're still early on in the process. But yeah, Abilene, Texas, 2 hours from DFW. So all you folks who are traveling to see the Rangers, to see Frisco, to see the Claiborne team, and I don't know who else is out there. Yeah, Abilene, put that on your map. Take that 2-hour drive to Abilene. Perhaps you can get there a little quicker because, you know, I don't know, there's nobody out there. Unlike here in the Chicago region where everybody's out there. You try to drive 140 miles in 2 hours. You try to get to Milwaukee from Chicago in 2 hours on any given day. You're sitting in traffic right outside Gurney Mills. And if you don't have your iPass, you're definitely sitting in some toll traffic. So, you know, it's always exciting when you have a brand new team come on because they're just full of energy and excitement. And, you know, I love Kat going on to social media and really getting people into this ball club and letting people know who they are, because, you know, you just want to keep everybody that isn't from the area, you know, you want them to know your presence, and you want them to say, wow, if I'm ever in Texas, the Flying Bison. And I think this is an awesome name, Flying Bison. And I love how they use the correct plural of bison. Buffalo, improper English, bisons. That's not how you spell bison. It's bison. And you know, since we're talking about bison, which at one time roamed throughout Indiana, did you know that? Indiana University even pushed a bison logo back in the late 60s. If you ever see that logo, you're like, what the heck? When did IU have a bison logo? They had it for a few years. Anyway, speaking of bison logo, because you know, this is the Bison Podcast now, the Independence Baseball League just released their schedule and teams that are playing, and the former Gem City Bison are coming back, but they're not going to be located in Gem City, which I think was Laramie, Wyoming, home of the University of Wyoming. They're going to be called Bison Baseball. So they're going to be a road team. I don't know if they have headquarters anywhere, if they're sharing a stadium. Haven't heard back from anybody from that league. But Bison Baseball and the Plainsmen, the North Plate Plainsmen, are coming back. But they're going to be road teams. They're not going to have the city of designation. So Bison Baseball and Plainsmen Baseball. Now, part of me thinks the league had a bunch of uniforms lying around, and they said, let's just throw these on some players and push our team to 8 clubs. That's awesome to hear. I know the Arena Football League did that, I think, in 1989 when they went through something similar. They just had a bunch of uniforms lying around. They said, okay, we'll just take these old teams that are defunct and put them on some new players. I think I could be wrong, but it's nice to see the Bison, because I remember when the Bison were sort of going out of business slash moving slash not knowing what they were doing. They had huge discounts on their box office, merchandise office, and I picked up a yellow hoodie and I picked up a couple t-shirts. So there is a lot of merchandise lying around from the Bison, of the former Gem City Bison. So that's great to see the Bison play again. And who knows, maybe they'll put that team in another city. But we'll see what happens. But for now, the Abilene Bison will be playing 2024 in the Mid-America League. Their colors, sky blue, yellow, navy, and red. And they have this really nice logo of a bison head with one of those old school pilot leather helmets with the horn sticking out. Very nice logo. Who did Kat say was designed by? Zachary Associates. So Zachary Associates will be designing the logo for them. Also the website, not only for Abilene, but I think for the three other clubs. That includes Sherman, Shadow Cats. I actually contacted you two guys, so anytime you want to get back to me, let's talk. Let's talk. Fort Smith and White Oak. So we do not know what Fort Smith and White Oak is at this recording. They could announce it a day or two from now. So just remember, these are not recorded the day of. They're recorded a few days before. But this will be up and running pretty soon. So I hope you guys enjoyed this look at the Abilene Flying Bison. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I cannot do this without my listeners. I can't do it without the people that support me on YouTube. Almost 7,000 subscribers as we speak. Let's hit that 7,000 mark. Keep pushing that subscription button, hitting those likes, making comments, share with your friends. I won't stop you. I won't say anything. Thank you guys for checking out Stadium Journey. I don't know if we'll have anybody out there this year, but who knows? There's always somebody that says, hey, there's a brand new ballpark out there. I have to go visit. Let me get my airplane ticket. And, you know, if that happens, we'll have a review of Abilene and maybe some of the other clubs in the league. So thank you guys. Happy New Year. And we'll be here next week. Not quite sure who we're going to talk to. We could be talking to somebody from the East Coast Collegiate Baseball League in New Jersey. We could be talking to somebody from the Windy City Thunderbolts. I just got to see what I have in store for you. But I guess that makes it a surprise. So we'll see you guys. We'll see you all next week. And remember, happy hunting. Stay safe.